Welcome to the Soldiers of the Immaculate Podcast. This is episode number 13, being recorded on Saturday, April 13th, 2024.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember, O most compassionate Virgin Mary, it never was it known that anyone afflicted thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgins, O Mother. To thee we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer them. O Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Francis,
pray for us.
Saint Pio,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
Well, I apologize that I have not assembled a list of questions. We'll do that for episode 13. But it's been a very busy week, I think, in your neck of the woods as well as mine. We wrapped up the talking of going through the book, The Incredible Catholic Mass, but I think there are some practical considerations that you wanted to follow up with after that.
Yes. Just some, like you said, practical aids for Mass. And for instance, tomorrow is the second Sunday after Easter, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. One of the things I recommend is before you go to Mass the night before, you could even do days before, especially for Sunday, you should look at the scriptures for the Mass that you're going to go to the next day, or if it's preparing for Sunday. And not only the scriptures, but the intro, the collect. And because what happens in the Mass is that God has particular graces that he wants to grant his church, his people, and they come out through the readings. And so, like, when we start the liturgical year at Advent, and then we end up coming around, what we're doing is going through the whole spiritual life from the purgative to the unitive, and it's really awesome. And that's a book I recommend right away is Divine Intimacy. I'm sure you're familiar with it, a lot of you. And it was written by Carmelite, Father Gabriel Magdalene, and he just does a great job. So he gives meditations, and they're not long. They're short for the whole liturgical year, every Sunday throughout the liturgical year. And I really highly recommend that book. It takes you through the whole spiritual life, once again, from the purgative to the unitive, and it goes through. So like what I want to just do today is like just go over like the gospel for tomorrow. So if you prepare, you could, it's a great aid. If you have time, you could look up commentaries. You could see what the fathers, doctors have said about these scriptures. I got great aids on the internet. Like there's a site called New Advent, and they have the encyclopedia, Catholic Encyclopedia. They have tons of writings by the fathers of the church. So you could type in this gospel tomorrow, which is the gospel of John 10, 11 to 16. And you could see what some of the great fathers said about it. The best commentary out there, hands down, is Cornelius Lapide. And you could get a lot of it. It's online for free. And the four gospels are translated into English, because the original was like 26 or 27 volumes. He goes through Genesis right to Apocalypse, and it's the best commentary you could ever get. And you could, like I said, if you type it in online, maybe Max can put the link to it. You could just, look up John 10, and you could read. And what he does is give you commentaries from the fathers, and it's phenomenal. St. Alphonse used to use Cornelius Lapide, and it is definitely, like I said, if you're going to have any commentary, that's the one to get. And so tomorrow is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's such a powerful scripture. The gospel is one of my favorite gospels, especially when I have to preach. And so what I'd like to do right now is I'll just read from tomorrow's gospel, according to St. John chapter 10, verse 11 to 16. So I quote, "At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, 'I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But the hirelings, and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, see it the wolf come in, and leave it the sheep, and flee it. And the wolf catch it, and scatter the sheep. And the hireling flee it, because he is a hireling, and he had no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that's the end of the gospel. So this is such a beautiful gospel because our Lord's given us this image of him. He's trying to show us who he is, that he compares himself to the good shepherd that takes care of his sheep. And so we could learn so much just by looking at what a real shepherd, a shepherd does, literally, and how he takes care of his sheep. And that's what God's, our Lord Jesus, is trying to show us. And some people think, oh, how cute that he's comparing us to sheep, but it's really not. He's trying to give us an important message. And in case some people may not know, but sheep are known to be the dumbest animals. So it's not really a compliment in one sense. And I think it's important that, we have to realize that in humility, that when we stand before God, we have to, that's what humility is, to know what truth is. And truth is that God is everything and we are nothing, literally nothing in God, in the presence of God. And so, but he's telling us, so sheep are dumb. And without the shepherd, they are lost. Because the shepherd takes them to good pastures to feed them. The shepherd takes care of them totally. He's with them all day, even at night when he brings a lot of times when shepherds, they all come together at night, say there's 10 shepherds, and they come and they bring all their sheep. So there could be there's 100 sheep in each fold. And when they put the sheep into the corral, there's 1,000 of them. And then, so the next morning, you would think it'd be chaos, right? That how are these shepherds going to separate their sheep from each other? But if I've seen it done, it's amazing. I went to a monastery once, and they had sheep, and it was amazing. They show you how they, take care of them and how they move them around. And so what happens in the morning then, like one shepherd at a time will give his call. He has a particular call. And when he calls, only his 100 sheep come out, and there'll be 900 left, and it goes on and on. But it's just amazing, because that's why the Lord's saying, he goes, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. When I call, they come. And so this is it. So God is so awesome. But so how do we know the voice of the shepherd? That's the first question we should put to ourselves. How do we know this? How do we know God's voice? And it's important. And so the main way we know God's voice, number one, is through his church, through divine revelation, public revelation that God, the deposit of faith that he taught from the apostle that's been handed down to this very day, through the 20 real ecumenical councils, that main major councils that define dogmas for the last 2,000 years. And then we have these teachings that are de fide, that are infallible. There's no errors in these teachings, and you could bet your life on it. And it's so important that we get to know the voice of the shepherd. So we know the voice, number one, through his church. And today, you notice our Lord said there's only one fold, one flock. He's talking about his church. There's only one true church, and there is no salvation outside that church. And so he says, you got the hireling, and he's not going to lay his life down for the sheep. No way. He runs when the wolf comes. But the true shepherd, our Lord goes on in the scriptures to say, if you have 100 sheep and one goes astray, will you not leave the 99 and go until you find the lost one? Go until you find the lost one. And we see that this is what the scripture is about, that we were all lost. That when we come into the world, we come to the world with original sin. Original sin, in other words, we don't have sanctifying grace. And we're dumb, lost sheep without that. And our Lord comes here, and he comes and he lays down his life. He lays down his life like a shepherd does for that sheep. And that's why we always see the shepherd with a crozier, you know, and that's why a bishop who's supposed to be the shepherd of his flock carries a crozier. Why? It's a symbol to beat off the enemy, that when the sheep are in trouble, he's supposed to come and defend them. Unfortunately, what we see in today's church is that the hierarchy has been devouring their sheep instead of defending their sheep from the wolf. They're leading their, I'm sorry to say, but the majority of them are leading their flock to be devoured by the wolf. And I always quote, I think it's Ezekiel, where our Lord chastises his shepherd. He says, woe to you shepherds, instead of feeding my sheep, devour them. Woe to you shepherds, instead of gathering my sheep, you scatter them. And so, but today it's so refreshing that God himself, he is our shepherd. And, you know, it's really interesting. I've seen the picture of the good shepherd where our Lord's, he has a little lamb over his shoulders and he's carrying that lamb. It's a beautiful picture, but, you know, what is that picture saying? And so we know from real shepherds, when a little lamb runs away, all right, he gets lost. The shepherd goes out. What's on? He leaves the 99 and he goes until he finds the lost one. And what does the shepherd do when he finds the lost sheep? It's a regular shepherd. You know what they do? They break the front legs of the little lamb. It sounds cruel, but in the end, it's not, because what happens is the lamb is stupid. But nature kicks in. He's not that stupid that he knows he can't walk. And so he'll let the shepherd carry him on his shoulders. But what happens in the interim is this, that as he's carrying that lamb for a couple of weeks till his legs heal, guess what happens? Every time the shepherd calls the other sheep, he gets to hear the shepherd's voice. And now he knows. So then at the end of the couple of weeks, whatever, when he puts that little lamb down, when that little lamb hears the voice of the shepherd in the future, he comes running. He comes running. And so how many of us have experienced that? Many of us, I know myself, sometimes we weren't hearing the voice of the shepherd, not because of the shepherd, but our own fault. We were living wicked lives. And then sometimes it's through pain and suffering that God will use. Only God can take evil and use it for the good. And it's through that pain and suffering sometimes, then we're willing to start to listen to the shepherd, listen for his voice. And this is so beautiful, that this is what our Lord's doing to us. He wants us to hear him. And so how else do we know the voice of our Lord besides the scriptures? I mean, the scriptures, of course, but the doctrines, the teachings of the church. And that's why I always keep on pushing that we always have to study. You have to study your catechism, and you got to go beyond the catechism, because the more you know about God, the more you know about the church, the more you'll love God and his church, because he's one with his church. So we should never stop studying, no matter how much we know, no matter how old we are. We got to keep studying. So the more we study, the more we'll love Christ. But something else happens when you're studying and you're hearing that voice of God, you know, then you won't be led astray. And so, I mean, just recently, look at another disgraceful document from the Holy See, Francis and Fernandez. I mean, just heresy. And anybody tells you anything different, these, you know, you could call them neocons, whatever you want to call them, these so-called pope-splainers out there, they just will always defend. There's nothing to defend. It's just heresy. And I don't even want to waste my time on it in one sense, but why would you expect anything but heresy to come out of his mouth when the man has come out with heresy for the last 10 years constantly? When the man in Morris Letizia is spewing out heresy, his big document that adulterers can receive the Eucharist. I mean, this is heresy. It always was, always will be. Then you come out the next blasphemous, heretical document, Fiducius Supplicans. I mean, give me a break. And so some people say, oh, that you, all you traditional people, you don't cut the Pope no slack. You always looking for, you got to be a fool not to Because when you see this man worshiping the Pachamama, when you see this man coming out with documents that are totally against tradition, this new one, the infinite dignity of a human being doesn't have infinite dignity because he's a finite being. It's as simple as that. We could go on and on, and we could take quotes. I'm not going to do it tonight, but I'm just trying to tell you, don't waste your time with that document. It's from hell, just like all the other documents that he puts out. It's just, but my point, if you know the shepherd's voice, when in this new document where they condemn the death penalty, you're basically condemning the Catholic Church for the past 2,000 years. That says the death penalty is licit, of course, if it's done with proper justice. I said, it's unbelievable. I said, so if you know the shepherd's voice, you're not going to be led astray by these hirelings, these wolves. And they're not even wolves in sheep's clothing anymore. But this is what God wants us to know. He wants us to be tuned in to his voice, tuned in to his teachings, tuned in. And so you got to start studying. The only good thing about these documents is that if you do want to take the time studying, there's some good analysis of it. Breaks down the heresies. We could go into deeper details. And then you could learn from it, learn what the church has always taught about the death penalty, what the church has taught about human dignity. The only one with infinite dignity is God. So we're going to... You study the doctrines of the church, and you're going to know his voice. Also, the next important thing is to receive the sacraments, and prayer. Prayer is so important that if you're not going to spend time with the shepherd, the good shepherd, you're not going to know him. I always tell people how we're going to be getting into mental prayer, that may be the next step we're going to talk go over in the future is I'm going to take you through mental prayer, teach you how to do mental prayer and how important. You can't become a saint without mental prayer. And this is all the Lord tells, knock and the door shall be opened, seek and you shall find. He's teaching us how to pray. He taught us the Our Father. Our Lord is, he tells us, go to your room alone and enter into prayer with him. So if I want to get to know another person, what do? I spend time with that person, right? I speak to that person. And then you also you want to dialogue with that person. You want to not just speak to the other person. You want to listen to what that person has to say. And so it's the same thing. If you want to get to know Jesus Christ, if you want to get to know the Holy Trinity, we have to spend time and a good amount of it, the more the better, in mental prayer. So this is leading to the next section. Like I said, so mental prayer, St. Teresa of Avila said, a conversation with God. So that when God's knocking, you're going to know it. When God's calling you to do something, you're going to know his voice and you're going to respond. And today's gospel goes on too. And our Lord says that he says, the Father know me and I know the Father. And he goes, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He laid down his life for us. How much more can he do for it? There's no more. He's done everything for us. And that's how you could tell the real shepherds. Who's laying their life down for the sheep today? Who? What happened in COVID? They did the exact opposite. Those bishops should be ashamed of themselves, where they locked everything down on the no masses, no sacraments. Are they the good shepherd? Are they one with God? Do I have to tell you the answer? It's black and white, my friends, black and white. And so we know they're not. And when we see the teachings that are coming out, it's just mind-boggling. And we can't get discouraged either, because I always keep on pushing St. Vincent of Larens. He says, what do you do when part of the church goes astray? What do you do when the majority of the church goes astray? He says, you live what the church has always taught at all times, to all people, to all circumstances. So we know what Christ has taught. We got no excuse. But so you want to study and you want to pray. But we go on today. So he goes, and I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have, he says, that are not of this fold. He says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So what is our Lord saying? He's talking about the one fold is his church, his bride that's one with him. And this is the beautiful dogma, and so many people hate this dogma. It's the forgotten dogma. I just gave a talk on it during Lent, and I'm going to have Max put it up maybe next week or another week. I'm going to be tied up with something. But it's the forgotten dogma. It's the foundation of the whole church, basically. There's no salvation outside the one holy Catholic and apostolic. This is what he's saying. I have other sheep, but they're not of this fold. And he goes, he must bring them back. Our Lord will bring them back, and then they shall be, and they will hear his voice. And so, my friends, we have to embrace this dogma. And the good shepherd wants everyone. He came into the world not just to die for Catholics, but all souls, because all souls are called to be Catholic, all right? All souls, because there is no salvation outside of Christ. There is no salvation, therefore, outside his church. And so tomorrow is such a, like I said, it's just a beautiful, beautiful gospel. And take this to prayer, you know, and meditate on the thing, because God wants to give you the graces that we are so fortunate that we have a good shepherd, not a wicked shepherd, that if our shepherds in the church that he left in charge are not going to take care, God promises that he'll take care of his sheep himself. The church will go on. We know that there's going to be a small remnant. When all the fathers and doctors talk about when Christ comes back, it's going to be a very small remnant. And we are in these times right now, my friends, that we have to get, I keep on telling you, buckle up, because we're heading for a third world war. We're in it already. I mean, there's been a biological, chemical war already. We're seeing millions are about to die. We see today, I just saw on the news that Iran has bombed Israel. So this is going to cause probably a third world war. And get ready, it's coming. But let us not despair. Let us not even be filled with fear, because our Lord makes it clear that it can't touch one hair on our head unless he allows it, unless he allows it. And that the whole thing is just to get to the next step is what? Death. The next step then is judgment. And then we get our eternal reward or our eternal punishment. So let us call out for the good shepherd. And you know what's interesting too, what St. Augustine says, that, you know, where does the wolf grab the lamb when he goes after it? He grabs the lamb by his throat. Why? So he can't cry out to the shepherd. And he said, and so that's what he does with many souls. When you go to confession, especially, right? You're having an encounter with the good shepherd, because the priest is persona Christi. And the devil wants to shut you up. He doesn't want you to expose your sins to him, even though Christ knows what they are. But the thing is, don't let the wolf do that to you. So I recommend, there was a book written years ago. It was I think a shepherd wrote it, and he takes you through the whole Psalm 23, I guess, and he shows you, compares it to how God used the life of a shepherd taking care of his sheep. And it's a book. I don't know the title of it. I could probably look it up. And it's another book that may be worth reading to help you understand the love that God has for us and how he did lay his life down for us. But there is no salvation outside his church, my friends. No salvation.
Well, we have enough listeners now that when references are made like that and about the book, and I've taken down a note, but I don't think searching on Bing is going to come up with anything useful. But if anybody recognizes from that description what book Father's talking about, send an email to max@soti.blog, and I'll make sure that's in the show notes. I'll add it to the show notes and then add it for the next one as well.
I want to make one clarification, which normally I think it's written by Protestant, but he was a shepherd. So I don't recommend books by Protestants. Very, very, very rare. But the only reason I would mention this, because he's just explaining the life of a real shepherd and how he handles the sheep. help, and it will help you understand the Psalms better and this particular gospel. And so we have no questions today. And
we have a lot of questions. It's just, I didn't have them ready, and even though I could pull them up, typically, unless I send these to Father at least a day in advance or at least 6 hours in advance to vet through, and because some of them just need to be answered directly. These can't be answered on a podcast. And I admit I kind of dropped the ball on that. I had a busy week, but that's not a full excuse. I will get these ready and get the questions to Father for next week. And maybe for episode 13, we'll just go over questions and answers and then go into mental prayer on 14. We can certainly play that by ear.
I think next week I'm going to be tied up pretty heavy. I got a lot of stuff going on. So I think we're going to put up one of the talks from a mission talk or I got a couple of new talks. We'll put something up for next week, and then the week after we could start hitting all the questions. All right.
Sounds good to me. And if you have any questions to be answered in a future podcast, send those to podcast@soti.blog.
All right. So we're going to end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We give you thanks, oh my God, for all your blessings, for you live and reign forever. Pax et benedictio Deo onnipotente, Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et semper. Amen.